I'm going to give you a little Bible lesson, students. Okay, here's a little Bible lesson. The top 10 reasons why God had to create Eve. Are you ready? Number 10. God was worried that Adam would frequently become lost in the garden because he would never ask for directions. Write that down. Yeah, I will. Yeah, let's do that. Number 2. Why did God create Eve? God knew that one day Adam would require someone to locate and hand him the remote. Oh boy. All right, number 3, or number 8. God knew Adam would never go out and buy himself a new fig leaf when his wore out and would therefore need Eve to buy him one. Number 7, God knew Adam would never be able to make a doctor, dentist, or haircut appointment for himself. Number 6, God knew Adam would never remember which night to put the garbage on the curb. Aren't you glad, guys, for a wife that tells you, honey, did you take the garbage down? Number 5, God knew that if the world was to be populated, men would never be able to handle the pain and discomfort of childbearing. So he said, I better give him an Eve. And all the girls said, amen. All right, number 4. As the keeper of the garden, since he didn't have metal sheds or greenhouses, Adam would never remember where he left his tools. So he needed Eve. Number 3. Apparently, Adam needed someone to blame his troubles on when God caught him hiding in the garden. Number 2, as the Bible says, it's not good for man to be alone. And number 1 reason why God created Eve for Adam is when God finished the creation of Adam, he stepped back, scratched his head, and said, I can do better than that. And all the ladies said, that's right. Come on, girls, that's right. So God did better than that, right? Yeah, you know, hats off to the ladies. I'll tell you, I just am so grateful that I was born as a male. When I look around and see what women do and endure, man, I just salute you all. Especially, I was talking to some young mothers before the service this morning. One had 2 children, the other 2 had 3 children each. And I was tired just hearing how many children they had. All right, come on, let's stand up to our feet, please. Everybody, would you do that? Look over at somebody and say, I'm sure glad God created Eve for Adam. Come on. All right, ladies, you could tell your husband, I told you I was better than that. Come on. All right, lift your hands up to heaven. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you now, Lord, that you would speak to us. Father, revelation knowledge would come, and our hearts, oh God, would be enlarged and enriched in Jesus' name. Amen. Give somebody a Holy Ghost high five. You can be seated. You don't know what a Holy Ghost high five is, we'll teach you on another Sunday. Now, it's 11:11, and that means I have 19 minutes to preach. How many know that's not going to happen? I'm going to tell you that right now. So call Valley View and tell them I'm going to be running late. I'll tell you that right now. But I want to go to a scripture that I gave you a couple of, maybe a month ago. It's in Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. And I want you to engage me by reading the scripture with me. We're talking about nothing less than God's presence in our life. And really, that's what the Supernatural School of Ministry is all about. It's not so much teaching about the presence, but it's teaching about how to live in the presence and to acknowledge that God is with us. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, let's read it together. Ready? Then he appointed 12, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Notice God appointed the 12 for the first reason, the primary reason, is to be with him. And you and I were saved not necessarily to fill a role on a church ledger or to fulfill some ministry, but to be with God. God loves our presence. And when you and I can create that bond, that connection. Remember Adam when he sinned? He hid from God and God came looking for Adam. He's asking him, "Where are you, Adam? Where are you? And why are you hiding from me?" It really is a picture of God's yearning and heart for unity with his creation. God loves to be with his people. So when I look at that scripture, I often am challenged every day to say, "God, how can I create a more intimate relationship with you?" And throughout the day, you'd be surprised. The Holy Spirit will nudge you and give you pointers as to how to accomplish that. But you remember how important this is with the story of Moses. I'm going to give you a little background of about a month or so ago when I shared with you how Moses had the largest church in the world. Moses had the most money of any church in the entire earth. They plundered the Egyptians when they left Egypt. They had all the wealth of Egypt. Moses was the most gifted pastor, where he had more supernatural results than anybody else, and signs and wonders than anybody else in the history of mankind. And even today, nobody has had those kinds of manifestations of the Spirit. Moses had amazing testimonies. No one was sick in his congregation. No one was feeble or weak. I mean, think about that. I'd like to go to that church. You know, when I go to a church and they're having funerals every week, I think I'm going to change churches. One of my prayers for you every day is, "Father, I thank you for Church on the North Coast. I pray, oh God, that there be no premature deaths among us, that we live out our days according to your plan and purpose on the earth. And I bless with strength, health, peace, prosperity, and unity the Church on the North Coast family." I pray that every day over you. Because I believe that it's God's plan that we have strength. Sure, it's God's plan that we have prosperity, to have the wealth of Egypt. Yes, it's God's plan that we operate in the supernatural. But notice what Moses said to God. "If you don't go with me, I'm not going." You could have all the money. You could have all the gifting. You could have all the testimony. You could have all the following and the notoriety. But if you and I don't have God, then what really do we have? Don't be deceived, because this generation has defined successful Christianity based on gifting and possessions. But look, you can keep all the money. You can keep all the signs and wonders. You can keep all of the results. But you give me Jesus. You give me the presence of God in my life, and I will be a satisfied man. You see, sometimes we exchange the presence of God for material things or for church culture. Look, I don't want to just be involved in a culture of the church. I want to be intimate with the Creator of heaven and earth. Can I get an amen this morning? You see, you have to remember that who is with you is more powerful in your life than what is in your pocket, or who is standing around you, or what others think about you. It is who is with you. And if you have God in your life, you can overcome all things. Why? Because greater is He. Come on. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, I want to say this again. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. Salvation isn't as much as getting man into heaven as it is getting God into man. We have a lot of times where we're trying to get people to heaven. People say, well, we just got to get people saved so they'll go to heaven. We have to preach them into heaven. Sometimes at funerals, people just try to preach dead folks into heaven. They live like the devil their whole life, and then the preacher gets up there and tries to preach them into heaven. How many know that doesn't work? But it's not as much about going to try to get a person into heaven as it is God getting into man. God wants to get into your life. He wants to get into your thinking. He wants to get into your heart. He wants to get into your business. He wants to get into your relationships. But we have to acknowledge and let Him in. He stands at the door and knocks. And He says, I will come in if you'll just open the door. I think you ought to lift a hand up to heaven and say, Father, I'm going to open the door to You today. I'm going to allow You to come into my life in every area of my life. You know, I've learned something over the 40 years of ministry that I've been involved in. And that is, the place you most often occupy is the place of your greatest influence. Here's the scripture, Psalm 91 and 1. This is really the scripture that talks about influence. One of the things that I learned as a young preacher when I was being interviewed for my ministerial credentials, they asked me what books I read. They asked me who do I listen to that preaches. They asked me who my friends were. Well, what were they trying to define in my life? They wanted to know where I'm getting my influence. Because where you and I spend the most time comes the greatest influence. Psalm 91, if you can, please put it up. Psalm 91 in verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now look at this scripture. He who dwells. He who sets up habitation. That's really what it's saying. He who spends time in the secret place of God. He who comes under the shadow of the Most High God. When you are under someone's shadow, you are under their influence. For whatever they're casting is impacting you. So we are admonished in the Scripture to dwell, to set up habitation under the influence of Father God. The influence of Father God. Now, I would tell you the story in more detail if I had the time, but when I was a young man growing up, I loved spending time at my best friend's house. His name was Brian. I liked going to Brian's house because his dad was cool. We could eat popcorn in their living room. At my house, you would be tarred and feathered if you tried to eat popcorn in the living room. I loved being at Brian's house and being under the shadow of Mr. Holloway. His influence was freeing. His influence was giving me a different perspective about family life. His influence opened up a whole different world to me than what I was used to under the shadow of my father. May I say this? When you and I have become redeemed, we have been redeemed from our father, the devil. You and I lived life under the influence of the enemy, under the influence of darkness. We have lived and dwelt under the shadow of influence of evil. But when we become born again, we're transferred from darkness into His marvelous light, and God casts a shadow over us, and He begins to influence our life. So it's very easy, ladies and gentlemen, as we serve God, it's easy to see who is influencing you. Will tell me where you are dwelling. For where we dwell is where we receive our greatest influence. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 16 is a really cool scripture because it talks about wisdom, or it talks about God. And so many people seek God's hand, but really He wants us to seek His face, right? Well, the reason why we seek God's hand, it's evident, length of days is in God's right hand. Why wouldn't you want to seek length of days? In His left hand are riches and honor. Why wouldn't you want to seek riches and honor? But notice something, that if you seek God's face, you can get the whole package. I think I might have illustrated this before, but I'm going to have Michael and Brittany help me. Would you guys come up here, stand in the front, and I want you to face each other. And up here on the platform, please, so everybody can see you. Didn't they do a great job today? I'm telling you, I love hearing these guys talk. Now, Brittany, if this is Jesus, you'll have to just imagine that, you know. But Michael's Jesus. And you want length of days, and you begin to look at His right hand. And you need riches and honor, and you look at His left hand. You really are only going to get whatever you're focused on. But if you change your focus and don't look at the right hand or don't look at the left hand, but you look at His face and you draw in a little closer. Not that close. We're in church. Draw in a little closer. And do you ever see those romantic movies where they're like, baby, I'm about to kiss you. I think we're about to... And then the telephone rings and they don't kiss. It's like, oh. Okay, you draw, you seek His face. Now, what I want you to do is draw in a little closer. There you go. Little closer.
You're making this hard, Pastor.
I know. Now put your hands down. And I want you to draw in within an inch of His lip. That's 3 inches. There you go. And I want you to embrace Brittany. Now, let me ask a question. When you get that close to His face, what did you get automatically? You got His right hand and His left hand. What God wants you to do and me to do is to seek. Go ahead, kiss Him. All right. Come on, give Him a hand. They did good. You and I need to be that intimate with God. Stop looking for wealth. Stop looking for notoriety. Stop looking for all the blessing. Start seeking the face of God. And when you do, you'll get the embrace of God. And automatically, all the blessings of God will come to your life. Now, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where you spend your time forms your habits. Let me say that one more time. Where you and I dwell, where you and I spend most of our time, habit is formed. Now, what is habit? Habit is tendency and practice. Tendency and practice. Growing up in my home, I learned practice of how to do life in a family. When I come to your house, your practice is different than mine. I noticed when I first met Tina and got to her house for the first time, 10 brothers and sisters, 7 brothers, 2 sisters. My practice in our home was you washed clothes on a certain day at a certain time and you ironed them on the same day. Mom paid bills every Tuesday. She cooked and had supper at 5 p.m. Not 4:59, 5 p.m. Wow. Tina's family was practicing life different. When I went over for the first time and Tina said, I need to find something to wear, I followed her to the basement, and to my surprise, the laundry pile was as tall as I was. Now, I have to remember, my mother folded my t-shirts and ironed them. Our towels in our linen closet were fronted like JCPenney sales rack. My socks were in alignment. Tina said, I've got to find this shirt I want to wear. She got into that pile, and like a little dog, she started throwing stuff, looking for her clothes. I swear this is a true story. I am so glad she's not here today. She said, I found it. Just let me throw a load in. And I'm like, y'all live like this? Practice. Tendencies. Where you and I dwell forms our practice and our tendencies. So if you dwell in the presence of the Lord and somebody offends you, have you ever been offended by anyone? Am I in the right church? Anybody here been offended or hurt by someone else? Yeah, four of you. Okay, the rest of you, you're just like Jesus. But when you have a habitation in the influence of the Father, you may have a reaction initially that says, oh man, they make me so mad. And by the time you get the words out of your mouth, the practice and the tendency that you learn from the influence of your Heavenly Father says, bless those that persecute you and despitefully use you for your name's sake, for great will your reward be in heaven. I'm like, ah! Why? Because when you spend time under that influence, you can't respond in practice and tendency apart from that influence. Today, we have a growing number of professing Christians who have perverted the influence of the Father in heaven. Because they can conduct their lives in such a manner that is not bringing glory to Jesus, who are spiteful, hateful, vindictive, will sue you in a minute. And yet the Father's influence says, forgive. The Father's influence says, love. The Father's influence says, turn the other cheek. Cheek. See, sometimes you want to give him the other cheek. And I'm like, that's not what Daddy taught you. Come on. But the influence of the Father takes over. It happens all the time. And even though you want to change your practice, it is so embedded in you because of the time spent in the influence, you cannot. It overrides your carnality. Here's the word in the Hebrew. I think I have it on a slide. It's yashab. It's a primitive root meaning to sit down, by implication to dwell, to remain causatively, to settle, to marry. Do you have that one back there? To make to abide, to continue, to cause, to dwell, to ease self, to endure, to establish, to make a habitation, to marry, to bring again to a place, to return, to seat, to set, to sit still. You don't have that? I thought we did. It should be in the slide of Nothing Less Than His Presence, part 2. But nonetheless, I wanted to give them that and let them see it so they can write it down. But habitation or dwell is a very exhaustive, extensive word. He who dwells, he who sits remains, he who is seated, he who remains under the influence of the Holy Spirit. See, your and my prayer ought to be every minute of every day, Father, do not remove thy presence from me. And that's not necessarily a feeling as much as it is his practice and tendencies out of his influence over my life. the moment I began responding from the influences of my former father. It is an indictment on my time that I'm not spending with Father God. People often ask me, why read your Bible? I mean, it's so redundant. Come on, you're going to read it over again, read it over again. Why pray? Sometimes things don't ever change. Why worship? Why pray in the Holy Spirit? You see, what we're doing is we're moving closer to the shadow. We're staying in the presence of God so that I am under His influence, because there is going to be a manipulative situation that the enemy is going to exploit in my life today. And if I'm not careful, I will respond out of practice and tendency from my old father. So therefore, I must constantly stay under the influence of Father God. Where you and I most often dwell will produce habits of thought or actions as a result of those thoughts. We had a situation recently where Tina and I contracted a construction contractor to do some work for us. They put some plumbing in our sink, and it was installed incorrectly. It wasn't draining. It was leaking. There was no trap underneath the garbage disposal. The drain was up too high and the water was backing up. So I called them. And I said, this isn't right. We need to fix this. Well, we did it right the first time. So I called another plumber. He came out and he said, who in the world did this? This is absolutely wrong. I said, well, that's what I'm trying to tell him. I said, what do I need to fix it? He goes, this whole thing needs to be torn out. I said, it was just installed. He said, it was installed incorrectly. I said, would you say that on tape, please? So I'm building a case, right? So I'm taking pictures. You know, I'm just trying to show this contractor that he's responsible. So I said, how much is it going to be to fix it? He said, it's going to be $1,200. Yeah, that's what I said. And I said, I already paid for it one time. Now I have to pay to have it torn out and reinstalled. And I'm feeling the influence of my former daddy. Oh, we know what I'm talking about. Like, who's your daddy? You don't want to know who my daddy is right now. Right? Who's your daddy? Ooh, he got two horns. That's who he is right now. So anyway, we got it done. I took a picture of the bill, the check that I paid, sent it to the contractor. I said, I'd appreciate it. You pay half of this, and we'll pay the other half. You know, I was being influenced by Papa. So I said half. So 2 weeks go by, nothing. 2 weeks more, nothing. So I sent it snail mail, regular mail. 2 weeks went by, nothing. So I sent an email last week. Hope you're doing well. I was trying to be under the influence of Papa God. Hope you're doing well. T and I are praying for you. And I was. Lord, let him pay me. Lord, please, let him pay me. Oh, I was praying. And no response. Nothing. Not responding at all. So I'm out prayer walking, and I like to pray in my walk. And I said, Lord, I'm going to just leave this situation in your hands. I know you got my times in your hands. And I thank you, Father, that they're not my source, you are. And I know that it doesn't matter what they do because you got my back. And he said, that's what I like to hear, son. He said, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to get a nice big fruit basket bouquet, and I want you to go knock on their door and bless them with the fruit basket. I said, get behind me, devil. Right there, get behind me. That is not God. So I get home, I said, Tina, you won't believe what I felt like the Holy Spirit just said. She said, what? And I told her. She said, you know, I was praying this morning, and that's exactly what the Holy Spirit said to me. And I said, so guess what I'm going to do this week? Why am I going to do it? Because I'm under the influence of a Father that shows mercy, that holds no grudges, that doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about? He said, but they don't deserve it. You didn't deserve it either. Come on, you and I, our practices and tendencies are from the kingdom of God. And just because the whole world is living like a bunch of demons loosed on the earth doesn't mean that you can cash in. Just because everybody else sues doesn't mean you got to sue. Just because everybody else won't talk to them doesn't mean you don't have to. You're under the influences of your Father in heaven because you dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Can I get an amen? So here's the question. Do my tendencies and practices reflect those of Father God? That's a good way of taking inventory of your Christianity as to whether or not you're being influenced by Papa. Papa God, Father God, Abba, wants to influence us with His tendencies and practices. You know, to this day, when I sit down and eat popcorn in the living room, and I do that, Tina lets me do that, I think of Mr. Holloway. Now, I was probably only 8, 9 years old when I was introduced to that influence of how they had a family movie night and how much fun that was and how warm it made me feel. And every once in a while, I'll sit down with a little popcorn and I'll think, wow, that influence is still with me today. We have been called as influencers. You and I are to influence a generation to greatness. The only way you and I will ever accomplish that is if we ourselves are developing practices and tendencies that come from the Father in heaven. How many want that for your life? Man, I want that. Let me pray for you if that's what you want. Father, I just ask now, God, that you would impart this desire and hunger for every person in this room. We ask that you would meet them in a place, Father, where your shadow touches us every minute of our day. And we welcome you into our life to influence us for kingdom principle in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.